It's a curated podcast with Martin and Steve, Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while Yvette's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
For the last time, this is the Southern Fried Security Podcast. It's episode 208, All Good Things. My name is Martin Fisher. Glad you can join us. Sad that what we're talking about. But before we get into that, the whole gang is here tonight. So joining us is my good friend Andy Willingham. Andy, how are you?
Hey, I'm bummed, but glad to be here.
I think that's going to be pretty much everyone's story tonight. After overcoming, the problems of Microsoft Skype and learning for the, I don't know how many times, do not update Skype 5 minutes before recording a podcast. Steve Reagan, how are you, man?
You know what? It was only natural that happened. It had to happen. That's just the way, that's it. It was fate. That's what it was. I'm accepting it.
Also joining us, Joseph Ciccoli. Sparkles, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man.
And finally, from her secure, undisclosed location inside the perimeter of the ever-lovely Yvette Johnson. Yvette, how are you?
I am well, and I am in a newer, more in the city undisclosed location than I was probably a month ago.
Yes. I saw the postings about that on your anonymous social media. So real quick, we do have some show notes that we'll be posting after this comes out, but some announcements. As we talked about on Facebook and on the podcast Twitter feed, it's sad, but it's time for this podcast to end as a project. It's been an amazing 9 years, and it's been 9 years. None of us really want to do this, and we'll talk more about that, but I think we all agree it's time. So all the episodes, and there's over 210 individual pieces of content currently in the feed, that's going to be staying around for the foreseeable future, as will the website. The website might go through some changes, not sure yet. But the Southern Fried Security brand is still alive, and we're talking about some different projects that we may be using it for, maybe some new different podcasts, updates on that as we can talk about it. So, guys, we're kind of going to be compressed for time because we could probably talk about all this for hours. But I think the big thing that I know I've had folks, listeners reaching out to me, one of the big questions that it's caused me to think of is, what's changed in security since you joined the podcast? I mean, what's better, what's worse, and what's maybe still the same? And I think still the same is probably one of the larger categories. So in reverse order of joining the podcast, let's start with Yvette. You are still the newbie. What's changed since...
Wait, what's better? Is that what we're talking about?
What's better? What's worse? What's changed?
What's changed?
What's changed? I was thinking about this. Honestly, like, ransomware, I think, is what's changed. Because we didn't talk about that when we first were podcasting. What's better? I don't know if stuff is better. I feel like we're still all reactionary. I still feel like, the game is it's almost like I just have to stay ahead of the guy running behind me. And what's the same? Breaches. I mean, I feel like we open the news every day and all of that's still the same. That's all still occurring.
Yeah.
We can make a whole podcast on breaches.
I think there are several podcasts that are dedicated to breaches right now. Joseph, I know you've put a lot of thought into this. What are you thinking?
Okay, first and foremost, I would actually disagree. I think that breaches have definitely changed because they're totally mundane now. You know, they were actually a newsworthy topic, and now unless it's Experian or Marriott, like where we're talking hundreds of thousands of millions of records, I don't care, right? And like that used to be, we had a breach of the week that we would talk about here on the podcast. So I think they have changed. I think they've just become more mundane. Let's see, what else has changed? Well, security is mainstream. Cybersecurity in particular is mainstream. We lost the war on that one, guys and gals.
No, I hate that word.
Yeah, no, it's cybersecurity. We lost that war 3 years ago, and people, like, you have pockets of resistance hiding out, trying. They're hiding out and trying to pretend that the world is still the same, but it's not. And let's see. I think the only other thing, I think that what has stayed the same though is personal security has pretty much stayed the same. I had to think about this one a lot. I think things on the company level, healthcare, banking, online commerce, things like that have changed, right? I think largely for the better, slowly but surely. But I think personal security remains firmly where it was 9 years ago when we started this.
You're starting to like the individual consumer as they are, you know, going through the cesspool that we call the internet?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with you, but we can talk about that in a minute.
Cool.
So, Steve, thoughts? Because, I mean, you more than most of us have been, you know, consuming the stories of the news over the last years. What are your thoughts?
So, this is going to be a little different. What's better? I think what's better is the focus on soft skills and communication has vastly improved in the security industry. And I am particularly interested, and we'll note that what's gotten better over the years is people are talking about the elephant in the room, which is mental health and depression, alcoholism. They're talking about the things that destroy the hacking and the hackers that made us great over the years. And I'm really, really happy about that. What's worse? Let's see. Honestly, if I had to say what's worse, it's the fact that the same BS that tripped us up 9 years ago, that tripped us up 10 years ago, you know, it's still here. I mean, if we were to put this in human terms, SQL injection is now not only old enough to drink, it's getting discounts on its car insurance. I mean, this is a problem, and it's just still there. So you could also count, you know, what's still the same? Well, you know, not only is it worse that we're still dealing with the same crap, it's the same. You know, this is why we don't care about data breaches anymore. It's because, yeah, what's that? You hooked it up to Amazon? Congratulations, you're in the cloud. Oh, look, you didn't lock it down. I'm not shocked. Whatever. Just go away. I don't care. That is, you know, I mean, that's the day in and day out now. But I would really, you know, if I had to champion anything, it's the fact that we're dealing better with ourselves. That's definitely a vast improvement, and I'm proud of that.
So, Andy, flipping it over to you.
So I would say what's better, and I would say that would be us. And I don't mean us as in the five of us, even though we are. but I mean us as security professionals. 10 years ago, 9 years ago, we were almost defaulting to our answer was no. Can we do no? But we need to know. And it's not that way anymore. I mean, yeah, there's still pockets of resistance. but, you know, I think now we've gotten to the point to where we realize that we can't continue to be that way. And we've made a much more concerted effort to work with the business as opposed to work against them. You know, and that change is... It's been around for a while, but, you know, I think when we first started this, there was still a large segment of the security population that was their default answer. What's the same? Again, I would say us. And this kind of builds off of Steve's comment about, oh, you're going to the cloud. We're still making the same mistakes with every new technology that we made with the old technology. It's like we can't build off of and learn, oh, well, that was a problem in web app, so maybe it'll be a problem in mobile. We just can't seem to make that switch and learn that those things happen. And the same thing, we're doing it with cloud. Oh, look, we saw that same problem in mobile and in web and in mainframes. You know, so I mean, that's what's better. That's what's the same. What's worse? Oh man, there's too many things that are worse in many ways. I don't know that I can call out any one thing off the top of my head.
Okay. Tell us about Apple, Andy.
Well, we're just going to pass right on by that subject. How about that? Okay.
So for me, I think what's gotten a lot better over the last 9 years is we as security people, I think, are better integrated in the business. And it's now understood that as security leaders, you just can't be the security guy. The classic example is if you look at the Phoenix Project, right, and look at the security guy in there, right? You know, the way he is in the beginning of the book and the way he is at the end of the book, we've played that out in real life. The successful CISOs, the successful security leaders out there aren't just technologists. They just aren't firewall jockeys. They are business executives, and they realize they're part of a executive team that's trying to accomplish a goal, and part of that goal involves security. But, you know, and we've ranted about this off and on for years, is very few of us are actually in the security business. Most of us do security in other businesses. I think for me, what's worse, I think just the volume of stuff we have to deal with from a incident perspective, and the pace at which the adversaries are changing has evolved and grown much faster than on the blue team our ability to actually handle it. You see there's the new tagline for security orchestration and response, SOAR. Yeah, that's great. None of it actually really works. But we're getting overwhelmed. I mean, the number of events that come through, a managed services provider or your friendly local SIM has been steadily growing. I don't know about you, but my staff's not growing at that same rate. And we don't necessarily have the tools out there to make us more efficient, which is why I think we're going to have to see a lot more automation. Candidly, what's still the same? I actually went back and listened. On episode 2, we talked about responsible disclosure. God is my witness, if I hear one more responsible disclosure conversation anywhere on social media, my head will possibly literally explode. Yes. Can we please, that conversation's evolved a little bit, but I am so tired of that conversation. Can we all just have a big group hug and agree that we're never going to talk about it again? So yes. And
I don't even know what that means. Responsible disclosure.
Don't give us the bet. It may be secure and undisclosed from our listeners, but not from me. So, this has been a 9 year, for Steve and Andy, and it's been 9 years, a little bit less for Joseph and Yvette, but this has been quite a trip. And I know for me, there's lots of favorites or things that I was like, oh my gosh, I wish we had done that a lot better. Andy, kind of, if you think back to the things that were sort of your favorite things and the things that you were like, please, dear God, let the Internet Archive never, you know, keep this. What sort of makes your top and bottom list?
Wow. You know, that's like saying who's your favorite child?
Isn't it?
That's
why I get to ask the question and I don't have to answer it.
I don't know that I can give a top and bottom necessarily, but just some of the things that I think back on and make me smile. Obviously, one of the first things has got to be the Steve Takes Over the Podcast episode.
Absolutely.
Still probably the funnest one we've ever recorded. If we had been able to have that kind of fun every episode, it would have been, we'd probably been done it twice a week. But you know, that some of the interviews, and unfortunately I didn't get to take part in too many of them, but you know, I can remember listening to Mark Hortzman. That was one of my favorite interviews. Yep. And it wasn't even a security interview. And Patrick Gray, that one was a fun interview. I just think back to the people that have reached out to us, you know, and say, hey, you're the Southern Fried Security guy or gal for Yvette, and things like that. You know, it just kind of makes you think, wow, people do pay attention and they do listen, and you wonder what kind of an impact and you have, and just today, which I thought was ironic since we're recording our last one, a guy reached out to me over instant message at work, and he goes, hey, he goes, are you the Andy Willingham from the Southern Fried Security? I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like, wow, that's really weird. But what was even more weird was this guy lives in Budapest, Hungary. You know, and so it's like, wow. People really do listen to us all over the world.
Well, according to Libsyn, we have downloads into North Korea. So take that for what it's worth.
Ooh, Kim Jong.
North Korea. Kim Jong. Korea.
Great leader. I'm sorry.
So, Steve, what are you thinking on this one?
I mean, a lot of what I'm thinking actually aligns with Andy. Like, to this day, I still get blown away when somebody comes up and was like, "Hey, I was listening to the podcast," and I'm like, "Seriously?" They're like, yeah, you know, I love Southern Pride. You guys are funny. It just blows me away when people, you know, point that out. Because it's not something I dwell on. And I mean, you guys know as well as I do, I don't listen to my own voice. So I rarely hear myself. And the idea of people listening to me is just like, stop that. Why are you doing that? But yet, you know, it especially when I travel and do the whole con scene and things like that, you know, people will come up and it's just amazing, you know, because we really did, especially after like 100 episodes, we really did put effort and thought into how we were going to present the show and what we would talk about, what's going to have impact, what's going to have value. And I'd like to think that, you know, that paid off in the end. I really, really, really liked the live show in Atlanta last summer. That will be one of my all time memories. Like, tell my grandkids type stories. You know, I had a lot of fun. And I don't know, don't never say never. Y'all might see us again doing something exactly like that, because it's the way it is. There's just so much stuff. Like, I remember when it was just Joe and I, and he and I were just, you know, it's the Steve and Joe show. Those were fun episodes to record because we literally did it without a script. We didn't care what we were recording. We just did it. But yeah, I mean, little stuff like that is really what stands out to me from, 9 years.
Yeah.
9 years of doing it. That's so bizarre, man.
And then,
you know, it's ironic for anybody listening to this, who's actually listened to 9 years. You would know that when Andy and Martin and I first started recording the show, I was on my hard phone, literally in my house. And as we're recording this, I'm sitting at my desk on my phone. I'm not using Skype. So it's literally full circle. Think about that for a minute.
The cycle is complete.
I'm on the phone, and now we're right back.
9 years later, Skype, still total garbage.
That has stayed the same.
So Joseph, you were the first new addition, and I distinctly remember how awkward it was when you first joined. So talk to us about what you remember the most.
Oh, man. So, all right. So that would have been, I think, 8 years ago would have been when I joined. Was right about a year in.
Yep.
So let's see. I was too young to drink then. Now,
you were a baby.
I started dating. I graduated college. I got married. I have a kid now. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Geez, Louise. Over these 8 years, it's been nuts. And like you guys have been saying, you know, my own personal example, and I don't know that I ever said this on the air. So I have a cousin of mine who actually works in cybersecurity, in the Mid-Atlantic region. And when he was like getting spun up in his job, he started listening around to a few podcasts, and he came up to me at the next like family gathering, and he said, "Hey, Sparkles." And it was it totally blew my mind, because again, this isn't something that I ever like talked about or made a big deal about. It was just a thing that I did, you know, hanging out with you guys who are my friends. And if the listeners got to listen, that's cool. But then it's like, oh, wait, now I actually know people who listen, and this is weird now. Yeah, that was pretty good. Oh, boy. Let's see. So favorite episodes. I had to go back and look back through the feeds. I think the microcasts, all the microcasts we ever did were some of my favorites. I remember whatever year, was that 2014 or 2015, that we were set up in the corner of B-Sides Las Vegas, corner of the main ballroom. And just like shanghaiing
Martin
people.
Actually doing interviews and recording people. Joe and I are out to the side taking selfies, drinking, like,
Yeah. And then, well, then
weren't
there
we
was
the poll for a brief period of time, too, like doing the microcast?
Yeah. Yeah, that was 2015 ish, maybe.
Hot as heck outside, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but somebody was bringing us those pitchers of drinks, so that wasn't so bad.
Yes,
all those microcasts were great. You know, just getting to sit down and hang out. I had to say my favorite episode specifically, though, or one of my most memorable ones was episode number, and I went back and looked, it's not 166, which funnily enough is like 3 years ago, even though it's only 40 episodes back. But it was the episode that you and I did, Martin, about specifically your burnout, right, and why you took a break, what led up to that, and some of the circumstances around that. And I think that that's one of the things that has always been so awesome about this podcast, is just having a platform to be open and talk about stuff.
Because we're just talking to our friends.
Yeah. So I have to say that.
And then came a vet.
Oof. Came on the scene. Let's see. You know, the first time I joined the podcast, this is when I was traveling all the time when I was in consulting. And I remember thinking, it was a very similar thought to when I went into consulting. I thought, what am I doing here? How did I get here? Why do these people think that I know what I'm doing, or that I know what I'm talking about? And I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to sound like an idiot. And that was, I'm sure I was unusually quiet, which is rare for me. Somebody told me today at work, I said something about, yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody knows me at this company. And they said, well, you're one of the biggest personalities here, so of course we all know you. And I thought, oh, is that a compliment? Or
take it as a compliment. Take it
I
as
said,
a compliment.
Thank yeah. you. And he said, no, I mean that as a compliment. So, you know, I think in the beginning I was unusually quiet, and my big personality was not coming through, because I didn't want to sound stupid, or I didn't know where to jump in, or it was very odd for me, and I just had to sit back and listen, which is normal for my person is to listen and then jump in, and I usually just cannonball in, which is probably what I did. Speaking of the microcast, I love that you brought that up. Probably my favorite microcast that year was, and I distinctly remember it, is we talked about, I had just sat in on a guy doing a talk about mainframes, and his talk was about what's old is new. And, you know, coming out of the airline, I was very familiar with mainframes and the security around them. And I loved his talk, and I loved that we did a microcast about that talk, because it was such a cool talk, very highly technical. And I just really loved that. And then probably my favorite interview episode, worst episode, memorable moment is all tied into one. And it has to be, I think, DEF CON 19 or something, the lost episode. That was probably one of the funnest, craziest, most interesting. We were in a hotel room making these weird drinks with cherries and all kinds of random alcohol. But our episode was so awesome. And I just couldn't, I remember thinking like, I can't wait to release this. And when Martin lost it or whatever happened,
It's all my fault.
I just remember thinking, no, we've got to get this back somehow. And to this day, I still think about that episode. I still think about that whole and just how good it was. So it's like all wrapped into one, worst, most memorable, favorite, all wrapped into one, because it's that lost episode that I will never forget. And it's gonna like haunt me forever. I don't know. It's gonna be the one that like I wake up screaming to in the middle of the night, because that still to this day just drives me nuts that we lost that. And it was one of the best ones we did, and I hated that we lost it. So that is my remembrances. But so there's been a lot along the way.
So I mean, for me, there were, again, like Andy said, it's like saying which child you love the most, right? We've had some really, really awesome episodes, and I think we've had some great interviews. I mean, the interview I did with Larry Poneman, I think, was like the first time for me I had ever done something that was could legitimately be called journalism, right? And it was an interview that I really had prepared for, and it gave me a huge appreciation of what Steve does, right? Or Steve did, now that he's changed jobs. But it was a hard interview. But at the end of it, I think I sort of kind of managed to nail Jell-O to the wall. I think for me, the worst episode is everything episode 11 and earlier, because the production quality was so awful. We had no idea what we were doing. I had no idea what I was doing. And the technology we were using was bargain basement, and it just, and that drove for me the one memorable moment, the one thing where the lovely so we had an sorry. Episode we had an episode where the audio quality was particularly horrible. And Jack Daniel, who is a dear close friend, someone who I respect more than almost anyone else in this industry, sent me a little message saying, "You've got to make this better. That was unlistenable. And if it doesn't get better, I can't listen anymore." And it was a private message. And I felt like I had been gut punched. And that's when I dropped money on a new soundboard and started practicing and figuring out what was the process to get stuff done. And really, if you listen to the episodes, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but if you were to be you know, wanting to punish yourself. There's a point in the mid 30s of episodes where all of a sudden you'll notice the audio quality suddenly goes up dramatically and it becomes a lot more consistent. And it's not a coincidence that was the time that Jack reached out to me. And on top of all that, I think for me, what is interesting is just the level of change we've all experienced. So, you know, Joseph talked about, you know, when he started here, it wasn't legal for him to drink. He wasn't married. And, you know, his life has changed dramatically. When we started this, my son was 10 years old, and I was going through some old audio where I had him record some bumpers, and I couldn't barely recognize his voice, you know, from where he is now. You know, for me, you know, I've been through 1, 2, 3. I'm on job number 4 since we started this. And I know all of us have changed jobs. All of us have had these big, huge life changes. You know, Steve's a grandpa. I mean, oh my gosh, who'd have ever thought? Yep. So we've been through a lot. And for me, what that means is saying this, this project ends has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And that was sort of the title of the email when I sent it out to the crew, was I really didn't want to have to say this. But I think if you've been around us for a while and you've been a fan of the podcast and you've seen what's happened, if we're honest with ourselves, it's time. And it's been fantastic. I don't regret any of it. I think when we start talking about what comes next, like I mentioned earlier, the Southern Fried Security brand is going to stay alive. There are things that we've had some internal conversations about that we do want to do. What we're not going to do anytime soon is a regularly scheduled podcast. It's going to be a little more ad hoc. We're going to continue to use this podcast feed. So don't wipe us off your feed yet. Stuff will start appearing at some point. And, you know, we know everyone likes the interviews and we love doing interviews. So I believe we'll probably have some sort of interview session. And there's other things of ways that we want to talk about things that we think are important to the community and stories that we think need to be told. And we're going to figure out a way to do that, that we can sustainably do, and that will add value to the people who choose to listen. So with that, guys, we have sort of reached the end of the time we have. So everybody, on behalf of everyone here at the Southern Fried Security Podcast, thank you very much for listening, for supporting us, for letting us know what we've done well and what we maybe haven't done so well. And we hope to see you all again soon. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, good night, everybody. Good night, y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
The Southern Fried Security Podcast is hosted by Martin Fisher, Andy Willingham, Steve Rakin, Joseph Ciccoli, and Yvette Johnson. The views expressed by all participants are their own and don't necessarily reflect the views of their employers. The podcast is produced by Martin Fisher and Joseph Ciccoli. You can find more information about the podcast at www.southernfriedsecurity.com and through the podcast Twitter feed at SFS Podcast.